This is the sound of climate change. That's an Atlantic croaker making the noise for which it's named. Croaker is the target of a lucrative fishery extending from Florida to New Jersey. But some say it's the future of New England's fisheries. Last year, Ernie Eldridge pulled up a glimpse of that future in his weir nets off Chatham.
We had one croaker. We had one, I believe it was a gray triggerfish also.
Weir fishing on Cape Cod is a tradition that stretches back hundreds, if not thousands, of years. The circular nets anchored by hickory poles are like underwater corrals that trap fish as they migrate along the coast. Eldridge says he's witnessed a major shift in recent years.
Right through the whole food chain, everything seems to be changing. It's traditional travel patterns.
The odd southern fish is part of it. But the bigger problem is that Eldridge's traditional targets have moved offshore out of reach of his nets. This weir is empty, and he's already disassembling his others 2 months earlier than usual. He says climate change is to blame.
For all practical purposes, there's no reason, other reason. You know, these fish have been traveling the same areas for who knows how long.
Rising carbon dioxide levels have profound consequences for ocean ecosystems. Water temperatures increase, ocean chemistry changes, and weather patterns shift. The microscopic plants and animals at the base of the food chain respond, and the impacts reverberate through the ecosystem. The location, growth, reproduction, even behavior of fish is affected. Northeast Fisheries Science Center Chief Oceanographer Dr. John Hare says coping with climate change will take a major shift in fishery science and management.
The take-home message is that a lot of things are changing. And the way that we tend to think about ecosystems is that they're static and non-changing. And so we're now confronted with how do we move forward with our traditional assumption that things don't change when we now have evidence, data, that tells us that many aspects of the ecosystem are changing.
Hare is one of many who say the key to weathering climate change is something called ecosystem-based management. As the name implies, the idea is to base any one decision on a comprehensive understanding of the entire ecosystem. It's a logical idea, but far from simple.
I think conceptually, it conveys a benefit, but the devil is in the details and in how it's implemented.
The first step is getting a handle on the physical and chemical changes taking place in the ocean. Hare and his colleagues have documented deviations in temperature, salinity, acidity, and nutrient levels in New England's waters. They're also seeing shifts in wind patterns and ocean currents in the Gulf of Maine. And that translates into ecological changes.
Community composition of the phytoplankton, the small microscopic plants in the sea, is changing. Community composition of the zooplankton, the small animals, little tiny crabs that eat the tiny little plants, is changing. So we're starting to sort of track these changes from the physics into the lower trophic levels, the phytoplankton, the zooplankton, and trying to track it up into fish populations or marine mammal populations.
Scientists now think that altered zooplankton populations may be one reason cod stocks haven't rebounded as quickly as expected. In addition, water temperatures in southern New England are getting uncomfortably warm for cod, so they're moving northward and offshore in search of cooler water. And they're not alone. Over the past 50 years, more than half of all commercially exploited species have responded to warming waters by changing where they live, like the fish that used to fill Eldridge's weir.
In the height of the season, and it'd be nothing for us to go out and fill three boats up and come home. And a lot of days we'd fill three boats up and go back out and fill a couple more up. And that's just gone now.
While the impacts of climate change are increasingly apparent, that information currently doesn't get factored into management decisions. The changing environment isn't even part of the computer models used to simulate fish populations and set catch limits. The problem is, even if climate change were built into fishery assessments, no one is quite sure what to do about it. Peter Baker directs the Northeast Fisheries Program for Pew Environment Group. He says one important step is blocking off areas of the ocean where fishing is prohibited so ecosystems can adapt to climate change.
If we can protect those fish where they need to be to rebuild from fishing, they can have the resiliency to withstand other pressures like climate change.
But federal regulators are actually considering reopening a number of historically closed areas in New England. Instead, they've opted for management schemes that set explicit catch allowances for each species. Ecosystem models could be used to match those limits to the fluctuations in fish populations resulting from climate change. But Mike Conathan, who's director of ocean policy at the Center for American Progress, says there's a lot more to this than just catch limits.
As fish stocks migrate and as fish move north into colder water primarily, They're moving into areas where the industry is not necessarily set up with the proper gear to catch the species that are moving into their waters, and they also may not have permits to catch those fish.
Take Eldridge's croaker, for example. Croaker is a nearshore species that's regulated at the state level. In Maryland, that fish would have been subject to size limits and gear specifications. But here in Massachusetts...
As far as I know, there's no regulation up here on croakers.
That's just one example of the regulatory complexities that arise from climate change. Conathan argues that in response, we need a whole new paradigm for fishery management, one that favors flexibility and diversity over history and geography.
And it's something that legislators and managers are going to have to deal with, because there's no question that the changes are happening. We've seen the literature on that, and fishermen have seen what they're pulling up in their net.
Eldridge says he counts himself lucky to be a weir fisherman. There are fewer regulations and no long trips offshore. But weirs are the most fixed of fishing gear. They can't just pick up and move to follow the fish. As he drives away from his weir, Eldridge says he'll spend this winter mulling a difficult decision about whether or not to continue. For the Cape and Islands NPR stations, I'm Heather Goldstone.